out and see so much red, white, and blue. We are glad that you are here this morning. I want to encourage you to continue to keep up, if you are doing so, with your prayer calendar for Vacation Bible School. Those were handed out last Sunday morning in the bulletin. And if you didn't get one, it's not too late to jump on the bandwagon. You can call the church office or come by, and if we are all out, we can make more quickly. So continue to pray for Vacation Bible School. Also, want to ask you to be praying also for our youth who are going to camp. We've got a lot of them here this morning. Last count was about 20 that are going to be taking off next Monday morning to camp. So you be praying for the students, and we'll get to hear some of their testimonies next the following week after they get back. And just continue to be in prayer for one another as people are traveling. Thank you for praying for Belva and I last week, and thank you to Brother Ben for filling in on Wednesday night. I know we've got several that are leaving this week to go on vacation, so just it's a good time to keep one another in prayer as people are traveling and getting rested and rejuvenated so they can come back and continue to worship and minister with us. I know last Sunday I had announced that this morning we would be in our You Ask For It series, we would be talking about angels. And as we were driving up to go camping up in Paternoz Falls, a light bulb went on, and I remember that today was the Sunday before 4th of July, so Norm liked to do something a little more on a patriotic theme. So next week we will be doing, as I said, we'll be answering the questions about angels. Where do they come from? What are their jobs? And those types of things like that as we continue in our series, You Asked For It. So come back next week and we'll talk all about that. But this morning we want to talk about Independence Day. It's on everybody's minds. It's all over the newspapers. This week there'll be 4th of July celebrations. On March 23rd, several months before the day that we celebrate 4th of July, on March 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry stood before a packed house of Virginia delegates with passion in his voice and delivered his now famous speech that ended with those famous words, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And ever since then, from that day on, America has been known as the land of the free and the home of the brave. Brave men and women who have given their lives for the cause of freedom. Freedom for us to gather here. Freedom for us to worship as we choose, including those who choose to worship differently than us. That is a freedom that they also get. Freedom to assemble, freedom to speak our mind, even when we should probably shut up. Right? Freedom to follow our conscience without fear of retribution. Freedom to disagree, even when we disagree disagreeably. And while it might be argued, and may even be true, excuse me, while it may be argued and may even be true that some of those freedoms are being slowly whittled away, one thing is for certain. This little experiment of democracy, as it was once called, with all of its faults and with all of its shortcomings, is still the best system around. Short of, perhaps, a theocracy, and even that didn't turn out as planned. So we really are one of the best systems around. But there is something else that Patrick Henry said that many don't give any attention to. In that same speech that ended with the words, "Give me liberty or give me death," in that same speech, Patrick Henry said, "Sir, we are not weak if we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature hath placed in our power." Now, it can be discussed all day long, and it's a historical fact. It can be discussed all day long as to how many of our founding fathers were actually Christians. Many of our founding fathers were Christians. But many of our founding fathers were not Christians. They were deists. In case you don't know what a deist is someone who believes in God and believes that God was the creator of our universe. And then God sort of spun the universe out and left us to ourselves and doesn't really have any intricate working in our daily lives. And so many of our founding fathers were Christians, maybe not like we say Christian, maybe not to the point that we would describe a Christian, but they were God-fearing men. Many of them were followers, believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Many of them, most of them, were godly men in that they believed in God to some greater or lesser degree. But they all believed in one thing for certain. They all believed that true freedom, true liberty, flows out of a dependence on God. And why would they not? Centuries earlier, the Apostle Paul, speaking to a church very much perhaps like this, said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Doesn't that sound good? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Jesus said it another way. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, there is really no freedom apart from Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that without Jesus in our lives, we are slaves to sin. We have no choice but to sin. Apart from a loving, forgiving, saving relationship from Jesus with Jesus Christ, we are not free people. We are bound to sin. And that's what July 4th is all about, freedom, liberty. But that is also what a relationship with Jesus Christ is about. A relationship with Jesus Christ gives us freedom and liberty. But some don't realize that. They are still living in bondage because they are enslaved to sin. They are believers in Christ, and I assume, but they are living as though they are still enslaved. You know, we have July 4th, which is our celebration, but just a couple of weeks ago, we had Juneteenth. And Juneteenth is all about a group of people in Texas who were free, but they didn't know they were free. Many believers in Jesus Christ, many followers of Jesus Christ live in that same lifestyle. They are free, but they don't realize how free they really are. It took 2.5 years for the slaves in Texas to get word that the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed and that they were free. And there are so many people today who claim Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, who are still living in bondage, still living under the tyranny of sin in their life. So just what are some of the freedoms that we claim? What are some of the things that we need to understand and know? What are some of the things that we, what are some of the freedoms that we claim when we gain our independence from sin? And when we gain our independence from slavery and dependence on the person of Jesus Christ, the first thing we get is we get freedom to live confidently. Freedom to live confidently. When you go back and look at the founding fathers and the documents that they crafted, there was a boldness about them. I mean, these were men that risked it all for this little experiment called democracy. But they were so confident that it would work. That's why they laid it all on the line. And many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence lost everything. But they were confident that it was worth it. A confidence that being out from under the tyranny of the king brought to their lives. And even though they did not always know what the right decisions were or how this bold little experiment called democracy was going to turn out, they set out with such an enthusiasm and a boldness. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ like? Could it be marked with enthusiasm and boldness? Or do we cower, or are we timid? Are we fearful and afraid? That is the way we are to live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, confident. Consider what the prophet Isaiah said. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners." Anyone here ever been afflicted by sin? Anyone here ever been under the bondage and the tyranny of sin? Perhaps even now you are. Anyone here not experienced the heartbreak that sin brings into our lives? When Jesus came on the scene, what did he say? In Luke chapter 4, verse 21, he said, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." What scripture? Isaiah 61. When Jesus came on the scene, he brought freedom. He brought sight. He brought healing. He brought release from bondage. He was referring back to Isaiah's word because, you see, Christ brings freedom from sin, and that freedom brings boldness and confidence to your life. You see, before we came to Christ, we had no choice but to sin. There was no real freedom. There are people that today walking around, and while they may be free as citizens of the United States of America, they are in bondage to sin. They are enslaved, the Bible says. They are tangled up. You and I were bound by our sin. We were slaves, not of some political party so much, but to sin and to Satan and to the ruler of this world. In some ways, very much a government, a force with Satan at its head. We had no choice. That's why when you hear people say, "I just can't help myself," they can't. We are powerless to help ourselves apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says, "Do you not know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But thank God," the Bible says, "thank God, although you used to be slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to," in Romans chapter 6. Outside of Jesus Christ, hear me on this, outside of Jesus Christ, you may be independent, but you are not free. You are still a slave. You serve a master, because we are all under rule. And it might not be politically correct, and it might not be nice to think, but the Bible declares that you are either a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are a slave to Satan. There is no middle ground. You serve one or the other. But listen, Christ sets us free to live confident. Listen to what the scripture says in Romans chapter 6. "So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. For sin will not rule over you, because you are under not under the law, but under grace. But now, since you have been liberated from sin and become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification. And the end is eternal life." You see, the Bible says we don't have to live as a slave to sin. We can live in freedom. We can live confidently in freedom because of Jesus Christ. So we can live confidently knowing several things. We can know that we have eternal life, resulting in righteousness. We can know that our past has been forgiven and can't hold us down. You all know that I do prison ministry, and one of the things that I love writing, we have to write 42 letters every time I go to prison. I write 42 letters, and one of the verses I write over and over and over and over and over again in my letters is Romans 8:1. I love it. "Therefore, no condemnation exists for those who are in Christ Jesus." That is a wonderful verse. That no matter what anybody says about me, no matter what I have done in my past, in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Now, there is ramification, there is consequence for my sin, but I cannot be held accountable for my sin because it's been forgiven. There is no condemnation. But we can also live with confidence knowing that God hears us. Scripture says, let us now come boldly before the throne of grace. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help at the proper time. And that's one of the reasons why we build a prayer time into our service each week. Because you and I need to realize, we need to remember and understand that we can come boldly, confidently into the throne of God. We don't have to come timid. We don't have to come quietly knocking on the door as if we are interrupting or disturbing the sovereign of the universe. No, we can come in and we can pound with all of our might because we have a God who loves us and is confident and he will answer us and he will hear us. Do you draw confidently into the throne of God? Or do you think that you're somehow bothering the Lord with your prayers? That he is bigger than your prayers? That he has other things to do? Listen, you are the only one that is on his mind. And I am the only one that is on his mind. We can live confidently as believers in Jesus Christ. Did the colonists find grace, mercy, help from the throne of England? Not a bit. Only tyranny, only taxation without representation. But we have an advocate, the Bible says. We have someone who fights our case for us. We have an intermediary, and we can boldly, confidently before the throne of God come and know that he will hear. That is our freedom, to live in confidence. Hold your head up high. You are a child of the King. Not of the monarch, but of the King. You can live confidently. But we also, in Jesus Christ, have freedom to live expectantly. Because we are citizens of another world, we have dual citizenship as believers in Jesus Christ. We are citizens of this world and of this nation, but we also, the Bible says, are citizens of another world. The kingdom world. The eternal world. What did our forefathers expect from England? You've seen the movies, you've read the history books. Not much. They expected one thing: hardship, taxation. In fact, most citizens of most governments, that is what they expect from the monarchy: hardship, taxation, rules and regulations. That is what we have come to expect. We are such an over-regulated society. We have so many rules. And that may be a good thing, but it's also a burdensome thing. But not so the believer in Christ. We have the freedom to live expectantly. We don't live expectantly just because of our freedom. We live expectantly because of our position. That's important to understand. We don't live expectantly just because of our freedom. We live expectantly because of our position. The Bible says, but to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. We have the right to expect certain things from God. You are a son of God if you know Jesus Christ. You are a daughter of God if you know Jesus Christ. And listen, it's not because you are an American or because you live in America. The land of the free and the home of the brave doesn't get you into the family of God. I love my country, and I am glad I live in America. But my hope is not in this country. My hope sure is not in this government. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. If your hope is in Washington, D.C., you are hopeless and confused and dazed and bewildered, right? They are so mixed up over there, I don't know. Nobody, they don't even know what's going on. It's not because of that. Your family does not get you into heaven. We have some good families. We've got some great parents. But good parents don't get you into heaven. It's because of what Jesus alone has done for you. That's the expectation. Just like the freedoms we enjoy have nothing to do with anything that we have done, the spiritual freedom, listen to this, the spiritual freedom we have has nothing to do with what we have done either. Look at what this next verse says with me in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. Paul writes, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." You see that? You are blessed. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. "Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself according to his favor and will." That is a jam-packed verse. We could spend an entire Sunday sermon or two or three on those verses right there, but we won't this morning, okay? Amen. You want to talk about position or family? Listen, Paul tells us that before the foundation of the world, God's will for you and for me was to be a part of his family. You know, when a man and a woman come together and they have that starry-eyed look at each other and they start thinking about family, the Bible says that before the foundations of the world were laid, that you were in God's mind and in God's eye, and he planned for you to be a part of his family. Now, we still have to make the choice. We still have to choose to say yes. But God's will has always been for you to be a part of his family. That's an expectation that you have. He chose you, and the sin that we talk about aborted that plan, but God has adopted us into his family as his children. That's his plan for us. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, we have a new position. That's what I'm getting at. We have a new position because we have a new family, a new freedom, and a new expectancy. The Bible says, "So we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Listen to me. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, you get it all. We get it all. We get all that God has planned for us. We get all that God has prepared for us. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, we have a new position because we have a new family. I love the old hymn by Harriet Buell. "My father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold." Brother Jim could sing it. "I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted. My name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King." That's your position. It's not some lowly, puny position. You are royalty with Jesus Christ. You are a royal son, a royal daughter. As children and heirs, we need to learn to come boldly and confidently before the throne of God. But be careful, because we don't want to appear like a teenager who doesn't want to be seen in public with mom or dad, except when it benefits them, right? We've all been there. We've all been through those years. Only when it's convenient. What parent doesn't know the ache of being called upon only when a child wants or needs something rather than spending time just because you're my parents, right? We need to ask ourselves, do I love my Father? Listen to this. Do I love my Father for what He does for me, or do I love my Father because He is my Father? World of difference. Do I love Him just because? And the Bible says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He first loved us. Because some of you are pretty unlovable. And I'm in line right there with you. There was nothing in us. God chose to love us. He chose to love us. And we have expectancy because of our, not just because of our position, but we have expectancy because of our provision. The Apostle Paul said, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus." All your needs. And my guess is, I may be off, but not by much and not for very long. But my guess is that all of us here this morning have exactly what we need. And most of us have a whole lot of what we want. In fact, many of us have more of what we want than we should. But we all have our needs. God cares for us, and He loves us, and He provides for our needs. We can live expectantly because of our position, and we can live expectantly because of our provision. God will provide all of our needs because of who He is and because of who we are. But finally, we have freedom to live confidently. We have freedom to live expectantly. We have freedom to live responsibly. And that is something that we just don't see a whole lot as a nation anymore. People living responsibly. People today think freedom means that we can just do anything we want to, and you have to let me do that. That is so much garbage. And you see where it has gotten us. We've gone so far backwards in so many ways. Well, no, we haven't gone backwards because we were better at one time, I think, than we are right now. As a nation, I'm speaking of. But one of the things that you hear a lot today, especially in light of all sorts of things going on, is that I have my rights. What our founding fathers meant when they drafted the Constitution was not that we could just live any old way we wanted to. We see this especially in the areas of freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of the press. It is difficult to get into the minds of the framers, unfortunately. It is difficult to get into the minds of the framers of the Constitution to tell us exactly what they meant. And the result is that everyone has an interpretation on what the Constitution means, right? You have an interpretation. I have an interpretation. The Supreme Court has an interpretation. We all have an interpretation. A lot like we look at Scripture sometimes. Oh, well, that means it means this to me. No, it doesn't mean it means what it means. There's only one interpretation of God's Word. It means, it says what it says. It means what it means. Doesn't, you can't come to God's Word and say, oh, well, it means this to me. No, no, no. You can't do that. It means what it means. It says what it says. Now, there's only one interpretation, but there are millions of applications of God's Word. That was just a freebie. That wasn't in my notes. Anyways, the result is that everyone has an interpretation of what the Constitution means, and we have become a society of people who believe that our basic freedom gives license to live and do as they please because this is a what? A free country. We're not free. Very good, Kamaru. We are not free to live any way we want to. We are free to live the way we ought to live responsibly. But God's Word is very clear on what our freedom in Christ means. You see, we have rights as Americans, and we are glad for them. But hear me on this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you know how many rights you have? Zero. Zilch. Nada. None. We have no rights as believers in Jesus Christ. And we get that confused sometimes, and we get sideways on that, and we're all guilty of that. As American citizens, we are overloaded with rights. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we have no rights but to follow Him. In fact, the Bible says, have this attitude in you that was also in Jesus Christ, who gave up His rights. And so that is the same thing that we must do. We have no rights as believers in Christ other than to do what is right. Freedom is not doing what you want, but doing what is right. Freedom means to worship, to speak, to assemble, to write, and to live responsibly to benefit the good of all people. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? If you're going to have the attitude that was also in Christ, you live, you eat, you sleep, you assemble, you write, you speak, you worship to help the benefit of all people, to do what is right. You know, the Galatians were a group of Christians who struggled with their freedom. They really did. They went back and forth between obeying the law, which was bondage, and living under grace and experiencing freedom in Christ. And they had allowed themselves to believe that in order to live for Christ, that they had to follow certain rules and regulations. And Paul tells them that they are free from rules and regulations, but that does not mean to live irresponsible. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom. We love that. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but to serve one another through love. The freedom we have is to serve one another through love, to live our lives out for each other. Two important principles that we need to remember regarding the grace and freedom we have in Christ. The first is, grace and freedom does not mean doing what we want. Grace and freedom does not mean doing what we want. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may multiply? You get what he's saying? So the more I sin, the more grace I get? No, it doesn't work that way. Paul says, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? We must be responsible to do what is right, not to do what we want. Believing, oh, it's okay, God will forgive me. That's presuming on God's grace, and that's very dangerous territory. Second thing that we need to remember is that Paul says in Galatians, the most right and responsible thing for us to do is to serve one another. And that's what the church is all about. The church is all about serving one another. You see, you have been given a position. You have been given confidence and expectation and a position of access, not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of those around you. To live responsibly. You know, royalty has its privileges and royalty has its responsibility. We are all well acquainted, especially as of late, with the royals of London and the ever-changing monarch. Whether we like it or not, there have been some who have lived irresponsibly. Harry seems like he's cleaned his act up. Time will tell. There's so much wrapped up there. Prince Charles and his mother, who for many years, perhaps until the death of Diana and even some since, were so distant from everybody, and they've tried to loosen themselves up. There is grace and humility of people like Diana, who's been gone for so long. Her son William and his wife Kate, they seem a little more like us. Listen, if you're a child of God, if you're a child of the King, then you have freedom. But you must use it the right way. Use your position responsibly. to help people to live responsibly. You see, we can't keep ourselves shut up in the palace of the king. That's why we give to missions. That's why we raise money for military Bible sticks. That's why we have outreaches. Because we are not born into this position to live in the palace of the king. That's for later on, but not for right now. Listen, if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will live for eternity in the palace of the king. But right now, we're supposed to be out in the fields. We're supposed to be out expanding the kingdom of God. There are too many people hurting around us to stay holed up in the palace. We must throw open the gates of the palace and invite them to come in. And we need to proclaim that freedom begins with knowing and depending upon the King of Kings. And so this morning, as we get ready to close and as we think about the next couple of days and this coming week and all the celebration, my question to you would be, do you know the King? Are you living in true freedom that is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father,